This is URN
Showtime Breakdown.
It is 5 o'clock and Showtime are here 1 hour early for our 2 hour Tony special.
It's very exciting.
It is. It's going to be such a good show. We're going to be taking you through everything you need to know about the Tony Awards. They are tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it's about 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. for us. But we'll be recording a podcast tomorrow that has all of the results in it. It's just one of the best years at the Tonys, I think.
Yes.
The playlist alone is just phenomenal.
If Ella does say so herself, having created most of it.
Thank you very much. We're going to be going through everything you need to know for the Tonys tonight, going through all the nominations, as well as revisiting some hits from the past. Starting with James Corden's 2016 Tony Awards opening number.
Thank you for letting me be a part of your special night. To be where you belong.
Oh, James. He did really well last year. I was actually really impressed. I knew he could sing, but then to host the Tonys is kind of a different sort of level.
Yeah, when you're up against, like, real staples of musical theatre yeah. who've done it, and in a room with the best of the business,
yeah.
it's a real difficult job. And he did it. He did really well last year because it was also like after the Orlando shootings and how he dealt yeah. with that. It was a really good show and it's a credit to him.
And following on from personal favourites, Neil Patrick Harris,
oh.
like it's such a difficult gig to go from like just somebody who embodies like the Tony Awards.
Oh, Neil.
Into like...
Neil. Yeah, so James Corden hosted last year. This year it is Kevin Spacey.
I'm very excited to see what he does with it. I don't know why. It's just the idea of him doing a big opening number.
But is
makes
he going
me very
to
excited.
Do that? Because he's not from... I think he'll do a good job. He's not from the world of musical theatre. He's
no.
from the world of theatre. He
yeah.
is a veteran, if ever there
he's,
was one.
Yeah.
But he's not a musical theatre name. And it's been a long time since it wasn't a musical theatre star who
yeah.
hosted the Tonys. Taking out James Corden last year, who obviously brings his own style of things. But... I think he's going to be good, but I don't know what they're going to... There's been no information at all
no.
About it.
But that's why I think I'm excited. I'm erring on the side of optimism.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, well, if they haven't said anything, that just makes me intrigued at what's going to go on.
So we think Kevin Spacey will do a good job. We'll obviously be able to let you know more about that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't done anything yet. but wish him the best of luck for hosting tonight. Personally, I'm still waiting for Neil Patrick Harris to come back. He's done it 4 times. I'm waiting for the 5th.
I think he's going to do a triumphant return at some point.
I really hope so, because that man can do no wrong. Hashtag love him to bits. We're starting, though, while we're on the theme of hosts, with our, I think, although they haven't entirely beaten Neil Patrick Harris in terms of hosting, these two are our favourites, and they did a stunning job when they hosted the Tony Awards back in 2001. The show they were in that year set the record for the most awards won by a musical, taking 12 in total on the night, including Best Musical and Leading Actor for one of the hosts. And no one has yet beaten that record. Hamilton
no.
came close, it got 11. It broke the record for nominations with 16, but still the producers. The producers is technically the best musical of all time,
yep.
which I love. You played this clip on last year's Tony special, but we just love it so much that we've brought it back again. It's one of my favourite clips, and we almost reference it on a daily basis. This is Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick at the height of the producer's fame with their opening speech from the 2001 Tony Awards.
Oh, is this an exciting night? We are so excited to be here. We feel just like the Bush twins at happy hour. Oh, it's exciting! Good evening. Welcome to the 2001 Tony Awards. And how are you, little buddy?
I'm drunk with power.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, pal. Yeah.
I'm starring in a big hit show.
Don't I know it? Oh.
Hit of the century.
Well, it's early yet, you know.
Oh, no, no, little man. This is a mega hit. This is a juggernaut.
Really?
There will never be a bigger hit, and I will never be more powerful. I'm the king of the world.
Oh, no, please. Please, a little humility might help.
That word is no longer in my lexicon.
Really?
This is a Matthew world, and you're just living in it.
Oh.
Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Hate me because I'm Zeus, Jupiter, and Oprah combined. I'm the king of the world.
All right. Matthew, please. Don't get too cocky. Don't you think you're letting this go to your head?
Yes, I have a... Yes, you pipsqueak, it has gone to my head. I have a big head, I have a gigantic head. In fact, it's gone to every part of my body. Every part of my body is huge. Enormous, huge.
Come in handy later at the party, but...
Well, you don't get it. You don't get it, do you?
No.
We're the Sopranos of musical comedy.
Really?
We're bigger than Big Pussy.
That's big. That's very big.
I could have people killed.
People killed? Why would you do that?
Because it would amuse me.
All right, that's enough. That is enough. Please.
No, it's just the beginning, you unremarkable elf. You sideshow geek, you teeny tiny Virginia baked ham.
Matthew, you know, there have been many wonderful shows on Broadway this season, and we are here to honor them all.
You pathetic little kiss-ass. I don't need you. I can take over Broadway without you. I am the Milky Way.
No.
I am the center of the universe.
Matthew, a little irony. The other night...
And the moon fears me.
All right, I know. No.
They fear me.
Yes, but I can see them shaking. All right. But, you know, the other night I'm flipping through cable, and there was a double feature, Godzilla and Isn't She Great? Apparently, it was an all-flop festival. Yeah. It's so funny. There you were chasing that big lizard right into the local video stores.
Thanks. I guess I did get a little carried away.
Yes.
I think I fell for the hype.
I know. All right. It's all right. I'm telling you, after this commercial break, no one will even remember that you made a fool of yourself.
Oh, really?
Not a chance.
And now we're actually going to start on the important stuff of the evening, which is, of course, the nominees. I think the big thing about this year's Tony Awards is that there's no runaway obvious winner.
No.
Last year we had Hamilton, which just dominated everything, rightly so. But anything that it was nominated for, you could kind of assume it was going to win it. Whereas this year, we haven't got that same runaway horse. I think Dear Evan Hansen is probably the closest we're going to get.
There's been a lot of celebrity endorsement, yeah. Almost.
I mean,
talking about it.
It hasn't got the most nominations. But yeah, it's the one that I think everyone thinks is going to win whatever it's nominated for. But the title for the most nominations goes to Natasha Pierre and The Great Comet of 1812. Also the longest title. It's got 12 nominations. It's up for Best Musical, Leading Actor for Josh Groban, Leading Actress for Dene Benton, Featured Actor for Lucas Steele, Best Book, Best Original Score, Scenic Design, Costume Design, Lighting Design, Direction, Choreography and Orchestration. And I think it has the potential to do very, very well. It deserves to win the big ones for Leading Actor, Best Musical and all that. I don't think it will. I think that will go to Dear Evan Hansen. But it does deserve it. It's a great show. I really hope it gets Scenic Design, especially. Mimi Len, who did the Scenic Design, has basically turned the theatre it's in into a 19th century Russian saloon.
Yeah, it's more work than just setting out just a stage. They've like transformed like the entire thing.
And what's interesting is that, particularly on Broadway, you do not get interaction with the audience. Although everyone loves to be there, you do not get audience interaction. And then Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet has done that. People go out into the audience. They don't interact in the same way, but they get close to the audience.
Yeah.
They sort of dance around them. It's a really informal feel, but well staged.
Yeah. You're more part of the scene.
Yeah.
Even though you're not allowed to,
you're part of the drinking club that it's being performed in. The show ran off Broadway in 2012 and has kept almost entirely the same cast now that it's transferred to Broadway. The only two that have really changed, Philippa Sue originally played Natasha. She left to be in Hamilton,
which, I mean,
Phil, solid choice.
Yeah, quite a good career move
actually,
there.
She's playing Amelie in the Broadway production of Amelie. I'm really surprised that hasn't got any nominations. I think that shows what a tough year it's going to be.
Yeah.
Obviously, Dene Benton is now playing Natasha and is up for leading actress. And Dave Malloy, the composer of Natasha, Pierre and the Great Comet, played Pierre originally. Now, obviously, Josh Groban is playing
that. Good choice.
Solid casting
there. We love him so much.
Love a bit of Josh.
And he's so happy to be in it. Like, every show he's just so excited about.
He really is. He's just such a lovely man. He gets a hashtag love him. We're going to be playing two songs from this show, partly because it's got the most nominations and partly because I wanted to play something by Josh Groban, but also I wanted to play something that's got that nice Russian feel to it because it is a Russian show. It's based on Tolstoy's War and Peace. And As I may have mentioned in the past, I have a slight obsession with Russian music and Cossack dancing in particular.
I don't think it's bled through at all into any of our
Not
shows.
Not at all, never. So first up is a song called Balaga, which I was introduced to by their live performance on the Today Show. I'll get Abby to share the link. Skip through the woman talking at the beginning. She's really annoying. Just go straight to the performance because it's great.
Unless you want to see Josh answer a few questions.
No, no one does. The woman's too annoying for that. Sorry, whoever she is. Basically, at this point in the show, Anatole is about to elope with Natasha, and he and his friend Dolokhov basically sing a song about the driver who's going to be taking them to Natasha's house, because that's what happens in musicals. That troika driver is called Balaga, and it's a great song, and you'll hear Lucas Steele, who plays Anatole, come in with this really, really beautiful note. He's up for Best Featured Actor, and while I don't think he'll win, it does prove just what a good singer he is. From Natasha Pierre and The Great Comet of 1812, this is Balaga. Josh Groban with Dust and Ashes from Natasha Pierre and The Great Comet of 1812. Title that goes on and on and on. It's much like the novel.
Yeah, matching War and Peace there. We need the longest song titles, we need the longest songs, we need the longest title.
Yeah.
It's a good job you said mic's going up then, because I was mouthing along quite loudly and I was like, I realise that I'm singing along, I'm going to stop now.
Brilliant segue, because this next song, I know full well I can't sing it. I can't sing most songs, but this is a song that really makes me wish I was able to sing, and because I can't sing it, I have learnt to mime it. Is all, I think, the best way to explain that. It comes from Tim Minchin's latest hit, Groundhog Day. The musical won Best Musical at the Olivier Awards. We played the song Seeing You in our Olivier special. That seems to be the go-to song for the musical. It's a really nice, slow, not quite romantic, but it's got a nice romantic feel to it. It's a really good song.
Yeah.
And we're not playing it tonight.
No. We like to be edgy. We like to be a bit different.
We do. And I was just saying this to Abby. This isn't my favourite musical by any means. This nominated at the Tony Awards, but this may be one of my favourite songs in the playlist tonight. I love it. Groundhog Day is up for 7 awards. It's up for Best Musical, Leading Actor for Andy Carl, Best Book, Best Original Score for Tim Minchin, obviously, Scenic Design, Direction and Choreography. And again, I think it's one of these ones that could have done very well in another year. Like we saw at the Olivier's, it's a really good show. But I'm just not sure how well it'll hold up against Dear Evan Hansen and Come From Away, especially for things like Best Musical and Book and Original Score. I'll admit, I didn't know a great deal about this show before I started researching it for tonight's special. But I found this song, and I said, I love it. It's performed by Andy Carl as Phil and Barrett Doss as Rita. I'm surprised that Barrett Doss hasn't been nominated for anything, because if you listen to this song, which you're about to, she's so good. It comes towards the start of the second act when Rita kind of imagines what she would do if she experienced the same day over and over again, as Phil claims he is able to do. It starts slow, but it gets good very, very quickly. This is If I Had My Time Again.
Sometimes it's like I'm stumbling forward.
If I Had My Time Again from Tim Minchin's Groundhog Day. I love that song.
It's a very good song. Is it jolly? Would you agree?
I don't think it starts jolly. I think it starts...
I think the final bars that you pointed out, I think they're jolly.
I turned to Abby with about 14 seconds ago and went, listen to the final buzz. I love the final buzz.
Official musical term there.
Yeah, composers use that term all the time. Tim Minchin stood there with a goad as the orchestration going, yeah, I think with the buzz. The final buzz. Not the initial buzz.
No.
The final. I really like that song. And I'm pleased that that's one of the ones that they've sort of released and have put out there, because...
Yeah, I think it's weird that they haven't chosen... Like, I know why they've chosen the song that they have most of the time, but I'm surprised that one hasn't been used a bit more, because it's quite a fun one, you'd expect.
It is. It's...
Like, if they had to go on, like, one of the morning American TV shows, you can imagine that being
played.
Well,
they did. And they did a song that I got... Oh, this sounds awful. I got bored of it, so I stopped
watching.
Which isn't a good thing for a musical. I'm sure, like, if you were there in the context of the show, because I again, I'd skip the beginning because I didn't like the interviewer. I feel like the Today Show needs to change their interviewers if they want to appeal to me as an audience, which is what they should be doing. So I'd skipped the interview, so I didn't really know where it came. So I didn't know if it was like in the bit where things had already started repeating or what. I didn't like it as much as this song, but it's good. Good work, Tim.
Yeah.
And something that's interesting, very different from his last musical.
Yeah.
He offers something different. Take note, Gary Barlow, and let's move on.
Ella has become the number one person for throwing shade at Gary Barlow.
Gary. We will now move on to the fight for leading actress, because it is a bloodthirsty battle. It is very much a contest this year between Tony veterans and brand new people who are about 12.
Yes.
They're not 12, they're our age, which makes me feel really ill that they're so stupidly talented. And I'm stood here in my socks talking about the final Bubba Buzz. For leading actress, you've got Patti LuPone and Christine Ebersole, both of whom have won numerous Tonys before. Massive names in the world of musical theatre, particularly on Broadway. And the thing about the Tony Awards is that people like Broadway and they will vote for people because they've got a history in Broadway, not necessarily because of what they're doing this year. So you've got Patti LuPone and Christine Ebersole up against first-time nominees Eva Noblezada, whose name, I'm just going to say it now because it might happen in the evening, I always read her surname as Nosebleed. It isn't, it's Noblezada, but in my head I see it and I go, that says Nosebleed.
So if she says it, we apologise immensely and we're going to try and get it right.
Yeah, but that serves you right for being so stupidly talented. Denny Benton, as I mentioned earlier, for Natasha Pierre, the great comet of 1812. Like, they are our age. It's so annoying. Eva Nosebleed was only 17 when she was cast as Kim in Miss Saigon in the West End, and now that's been transferred over to Broadway, and it's just,
it's not allowed, really.
I don't think people should be that good that young. We'll get on to them and their respective shows in a little bit, because before we do that, there's another entry to the leading actress category, and that is Bette Midler. Now, I don't want to use the word conspiracy theory, but there's a bit of a conspiracy theory, because she has been famously snubbed by the Tony Awards multiple times. She has never been nominated before for a performance award. This is her first time being nominated. She did a one-woman show that everyone on Broadway went to see and didn't get a mention at all. Like, there's a theory that the Tony Awards don't like
her. If there was a conspiracy theory I was going to buy into, I think this might be the one that I choose.
Yeah. Forget Illuminati. Bette Midler on Broadway.
Musical theatre, conspiracy theories only. Please and thank you.
That is a feature in itself. But anyway, she is being nominated this year for her portrayal of Dolly in the revival of Joey Herman and Michael Stewart's Hello, Dolly. It's actually the show with the second most nominations this year. It's up for Best Revival, leading actor for David Hyde Pierce, who I love. If you haven't watched Down With Love with Ewan McGregor, David Hyde Pierce is in that and he is brilliant. Obviously, Bette Midler for leading actress. Gavin Creel for featured actor. I've got a real soft spot for him. Think he might win this one. Kate Baldwin for featured actress. It's then got scenic design, costume design, lighting design, direction, orchestration. They're sort of the background ones that we don't care as much about. Sorry.
Because we can't go see them and we're slightly bitter about it.
Just slightly. I think it'll probably win Best Revival. And as I say, Gavin Creel for featured actor is the favourite to win. As is Bette Midler for leading actress. All of the like background sources are putting her forward. I think maybe so that the Tony Awards can come away from this suggestion that they don't like her.
Yeah, because if she doesn't this year, that's going to be, the people are going to put it forward,
it's
as gonna the
It's
going to
be a real
evidence.
Kick in the teeth. The thing with Hello Dolly is it's just a real staple musical of any theatre lover's heart, and the song that we're going to play is the sort of the staple song of the show from the 2017 Broadway revival. This is Put On Your Sunday Clothes.
Out there, there's a world outside of Yonkers.
Put On Your Sunday Clothes from the 2017 Broadway revival of Hello Dolly. It's just such a musical theatre song.
Yeah. You can imagine the big sort of dancing number.
Yeah. It's, I think when people say, oh, I don't like musicals,
That's what they're thinking about.
So sorry if you are one of those people. Why are you listening to this show?
Hi. You appear to be lost.
But that's something that's good about musicals, that they have everything.
Yes.
Apart from like that song, the one we're about to play, very musical theatre.
A lot of high notes there.
Yeah, I think that's going to do very well. While we're on the subject of leading actress, as we were doing before, that song. Bette Midler is the favourite to win, but she's up against Patti LuPone and Christine Ebersole for their roles as Helena Rubinstein and Elizabeth Arden, respectively, in the musical War Paint. Now, I am not going to lie. I do not know a lot about this musical. And again, this is awful. Having watched the promo material, I'm not that interested in it. That is just my personal opinion. But I wasn't grabbed by the songs. And I think the thing that's carrying this through is it's got, hey, look at the people we've got in it.
Yeah.
They're such Broadway staples. Watch it. And actually, like, it's not my cup of tea. If you like it, great. I'm sure it's a great show. It's not for me. It's about two competing women in the cosmetics industry and sort of their rivalry and how that shaped the cosmetics industry from the 1930s to the 1960s. It's up for leading actress for both Christine Ebersole and Patti LuPone, as well as scenic design and costume design. And we're going to play a quick medley of songs from the show by the two leading ladies. So from War Paint, this is Forever Beautiful / Pink / Face to Face.
My dolly dear, that man's a realist. He made me beautiful.
This is the last nominee for leading actress, and it is Eva Nosebleeder herself. I just can't see anything else but that. We were just having an extensive discussion about how you pronounce her surname.
Noblezada.
Yeah, I would go Noblezada. I quite like the idea of it being Noblezada,
which sounds very like Zorro almost.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I can...
Let's move on with that.
we could get sidetracked very quickly.
This person is...
Eva. Let's just call her Eva.
is nominated for her role as Kim in Miss Saigon. It's back on Broadway for the first time since 1991. Miss Saigon, it's up for Best Revival and Leading Actress. It has the same leading cast as the West End Revival back in 2014 for the 25th anniversary. I have never seen this show.
Ooh.
And I've tried to listen to quite a lot of the songs, and I've never been that grabbed by it. And I think it's because they always play the same songs on it. Because it's like, here's a famous one, let's play that. And I haven't taken to it.
I think I've seen. It's more about the spectacle of it, I think, rather than the. You have to be there, I think, and then it gets all very emotional and everyone's crying.
I reckon if I actually sat down properly and listened to it, I would love it. It's by the same guys who did Les Mis, and a lot of the music has a very similar... Like, you'll listen to it and you'll be like, oh, that sounds kind of familiar. And it's just because there's a similar riff in Les Mis. It's obviously a retelling of Puccini's Madame Butterfly. It's all just very sad and dramatic.
Much like Les Mis, I think.
Quite a lot like that. Yeah, so at some point in the future I will get around to seeing it and listening to it properly, and then I'll probably fall in love with it and you'll hate the fact that I won't stop going on about it. But at the moment I'm not a big fan of it, but I do think Eva, however you say her surname, is amazing, especially as she is so young. When she was cast in the 25th anniversary production, like, she'd come straight out of school. She tells a story where, like, a few months before, she'd been making her own costumes to do, like, a school production of something. Aww. And suddenly she's in this West End production touring the world. It's just an amazing story.
It is. But it's also very annoying.
Yeah. It's like, come on, give the rest of us a chance. I'm still in my socks. So we're going to play a song by Eva from that 25th anniversary production. This is I'd Give My Life For You. Very dramatic.
Yeah, it was very like, I can think of something that I was like, oh no, it's gone very
Phantom.
Yeah.
Phantom. phantom post chandelier drop, which is how all time is measured.
Yeah. You are either phantom pre chandelier drop yep. or phantom post.
It's how it works.
It's a bit.
I'm going to be introducing it as the new BC.
Yeah,
AD.
I was going to say it's very like the. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Moving on.
Either Noblezada with "I'd Give My Life for You" from the 2014 live recording of Miss Saigon. They are doing a performance, as of all the, I think all the nominated shows at the Tony Awards. So I imagine,
yeah,
it'll either be that song or American Dream, or indeed both, or one of the other ones that she does with Alistair Brammer, who I can't remember who he plays. Chris. I'm not very interested in the show,
yeah,
so we're going to move
tell?
Straight along because I'm so excited about the next one. We're basically halfway through this show now, so it's about time to return to Tony Past. And couldn't get further away
from the
like poignant, beautiful, tragic Miss Saigon to a rock musical about an Eastern German transgender singer who was played in an almost career-defining role by Neil Patrick Harris.
We're doing a bit of a tone shift.
Yes. Yes, we are. I think that is one of the understatements of the year. It's Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and it is one of the most brilliantly bonkers musicals there is. It follows the story of fictional Hedwig Robinson, born Hansel Schmidt, who tries to have a sex change and ends up having a botched operation, and how, like, the ramifications of that, and just, it's a really great show.
Just take our word for it.
It's had numerous international productions before opening on Broadway in 2014. As I said, Neil Patrick Harris played Hedwig and was simply stunning in it. He always is in whatever he does, but he was so, so good in this.
This is like the one that everyone talks
yeah.
about.
How he moves like that in heels, I don't know.
No
I can
one
barely
knows.
Do that. Like standing.
It's magic, okay?
He has such, like, he's just incredible. And he was so nervous about going into drag
Aww.
Before doing the show, and then he just pulls it off so, so well. He won the Tony for leading actor for Hedwig in 2014, and he gave a performance of a song from Hedwig at the Tony Awards, and we're going to play that song. It's just such a good song, and I'm so excited about it. I'll get Abby to share the clip yes. of him singing this, just so you can, because there's like so much other things going on. Like he goes out into the audience, he licks Samuel L. Jackson's glasses, he collapses
Don't
on
pause
Kevin Bacon.
There.
I'm so excited about this song. We're just going to cut straight to the song while I like have a breakdown. With his live performance at the 2014 Tony Awards, this is Neil Patrick Harris as Hedwig with Sugar Daddy. Andrew Rannells. There's a link here, don't worry. Andrew Rannells took over the role of Hedwig after Neil Patrick Harris left the production at the end of 2014. Andrew Rannells is better known, of course, for his Tony-nominated performance as Elder Price in the original Book of Mormon and for being in shows that have been cancelled. That's what I know about Andrew Rannells. He's adorable. But he took over from Neil Patrick Harris. And he is in our next musical.
Yay!
What a link. He's playing Wizza in the Broadway revival of Falsettos. It's a musical about a man called Marvin, his ex-wife Trina, his psychiatrist Mendel, his son Jason, his lesbian neighbours Cordelia and Dr. Charlotte, and his gay lover Wizza. And there's a lot of things going on, but it's quite good. That's what I'm going to say.
Yep.
It's one of those musicals that is really well known in musical theatre circles, particularly in America. I don't think it's ever been to the UK. In musical theatre circles in America, it is really one. For a lot of people, it was like their first show. A lot of people who are now in the musical theatre business, they yeah. remember the original Falsettos. And so there's this really nice feel that's been brought back. I don't think it's going to win Best Revival against Hello Dolly, but it does have a good chance. It's also up for leading actor for the one, the only, Christian Borg.
Hey!
Stunning man. As well as featured actor for Andrew Rannells, featured actor as well for Brandon Uranowitz, and featured actress for Stephanie J. Block. I feel bad that it's got so many actor and actress nominations because it is a fantastic cast. I mean, it also has Tracy Thomas as Dr. Charlotte, who is best known for her role as Joanne in Rent in the film version and on Broadway. I don't think it's going to win any of the actor awards. I hope it does, maybe, but I think the competition is too fierce in those. But it's up for 5 awards, so we're going to still play something from it, from the 2016 Broadway revival of Falsettos. This is This Had Better Come to a Stop.
Late for dinner, late again, late for dinner, late again, late for dinner. to an end.
This had better come to a stop from falsettos, featuring the wonderful, the lovely Christian Bale. He's never been nominated for a lead actor before. He won the featured actor Tony for Something Rotten, which we may have discussed a couple of times on this show. He wears a lot of leather. He was nominated for feature actor as well for Legally Blonde. He won featured actor in a play for Peter Pan and the Star Catcher in 2012. This is his first time being nominated for leading actor. And unfortunately, I don't think he's going to win, as much as I love him. And that is because of the breakthrough phenomenon that is Ben Platt as Evan Hansen in Dear Evan Hansen. We've covered this show plenty of times before, so bear with us. It was written by Pasek and Paul, who are the duo behind La La Land most recently, but also like Dogfight, Edges, loads of other musicals. They even wrote the final song of the Flash crossover musical episode, which...
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. They're most known.
I mean, if you watch that episode, you will know the song I'm talking about. It's called Running Home to You, and it is just the stunt. Like, it's not... The rest of the show isn't bad, but that song is just stunning. And you, I was just, I didn't know that they'd written it. I was kind of, this is very Pasek and Paul. Google. It's Pasek and Paul. There we go. Dear Evan Hansen is also directed by Michael Grafe, who is responsible for the original Broadway production of Rent, as well as Next to Normal and If Then, and a load of other things. Also War Paint, which we covered earlier. And won't
always
again.
A link.
Dear Evan Hansen is about a socially anxious teenager called Evan Hansen, who creates a fake friendship with the deceased Connor Murphy after Connor is found with a letter that Evan had written to himself when he committed suicide. It's a jolly show.
It's more cheerful than you expect.
It genuinely is. It's up for 9 awards, Best Musical, Leading Actor for Ben Platt, Featured Actor for Mike Faced. I am so happy he got a nomination. It's his first time nominated. I think Gavin Creel will win for Hello Dolly, but Mike, good job. Featured Actress for Rachel Bay Jones, who plays Evan Hansen's mum. We'll cover her in just a bit. And then also Best Book, Best Original Score, Lighting Design, Direction, Orchestration. Alex Lacamoire is responsible for the orchestration. He did Hamilton last year.
Yeah.
Very, very good guy. We're going to play two songs from this show. The first is the standout song of the musical, which I imagine is probably the one they're going to perform at the Tony Awards.
It's the one that's like most covered as well. If you look on YouTube or anything, this is always the one that everyone goes to.
It's the new Let It Go. This is Ben Platt's big number. It is Waving Through a Window. Waving Through a Window, performed there by Ben Platt. Now, I did say we would be playing two songs from Dear Evan Hansen, and we've actually never played this song on the show before. Had planned to play it on our show on Mother's Day, but we were replaced with sports.
Not very Mother's Day at all.
Nope. But one of the great things about Dear Evan Hansen is that it actually has roles for women of like an older age that isn't like stereotypical. They're not witches. They're not old women. They're just normal mums.
Yeah.
And it's something that's really rare on Broadway, and something that the women playing these parts have picked up on and say that they really like about it. One of those mums is Heidi Hansen, Evan's mum, who is played by Rachel Bay Jones. She's up for Best Featured Actress. I think she will win it.
Yeah.
I kind of want Jen Colella to win it for Me in the Sky, which we'll be playing next, but I think Rachel Bay Jones has it for this song alone. She gets her own solo in the show, and it is just beautiful. And it really encapsulates the sort of the struggle and the pressure of a single mum, which like no songs do. So without further ado, that's Babby's mum. This is So Big, So Small.
Till it all feels so small.
Rachel Bay Jones with So Big, So Small from Dear Evan Hansen. It's a really beautiful song.
Makes me want to cry every time I hear
yes,
it.
Yes, it does indeed. So we're going to move straight on.
Before we burst into tears.
Because of her performance in that song, Rachel B. Jones, and the next singer that we're about to play, Jen Colella, I think that the category I'm most excited about at the Tony Awards is, other than Best Musical, Best Featured Actress. There's Kate Baldwin, nominated for Hello Dolly, Stephanie J. Block from Falsettos, Mary Beth Pale from Anastasia, and then obviously Rachel B. Jones, and my woman of the hour, Jen Colella. I love her to bits. She plays Captain Beverly Bass in Come From Away, which I promise I'm not going to go into again. I've covered it enough. Google it if you've never heard of it. I genuinely think it's a two-horse race between Rachel B. Jones and Jen Colella, and I have no idea who is going to win or who I want to win, because I love them both and I think they're great. As well as Best Featured Actress, Come From Away is up for Best Musical, Best Book, Best Original Score, Lighting Design, Direction and Choreography. And I couldn't mention this musical without playing one particular song, none other than Miss Jen Colella, hashtag love her, times like a thousand, with Me and the Sky. Jen Colella with Me and the Sky from Come From Away. Love that song.
Really? It's not like you knew all the ticks and stuff in the song at all.
No.
See, so there's a bit and then there's a little bit of a laugh, and then Ella does it, and then she laughs at that bit.
She laughs in the way I laughed as well. Let's move on. I just love that song. Anyway, we only have one nominated musical left to cover. We're ignoring Bandstand and Holiday Inn.
Sorry.
Because Bandstand's only nominated for two things, choreography and orchestration, and Holiday Inn is nominated for choreography. Neither of them have released an album yet. They are great shows. We're not covering them. Sorry. Although, Abby will be pleased to know that, you know, the guy who does the leaning in Gentleman's Guide to Love Murder, he plays the lead in Holiday Inn.
Fantastic. I hope he leans again.
Lean always. Now, the last show that we're covering isn't really up for much either. Just costume design and featured actress for Mary Beth Pale. But I am excited about it nonetheless, and we shall be playing it. I accept.
That was a lot of sentence.
I accept that I have been going on about Anastasia for far too long
without having a CD to play.
They haven't released the album until Friday.
Hey!
It's here! Yes! Sing to the hills! I have been waiting to play My Petersburg from Anastasia, the new Broadway musical, for so long. And I have waited and I have waited and I have waited, and they have released the album and they have changed the lyrics to My Petersburg, and they're not as good as the original that I have learnt, that I have choreographed a routine to in my head. But we're still going to play it because I'm so excited and I feel like I need closure. So we're going to play it from Anastasia. This is the wonderful Derek Lenner with My Petersburg.
I grew up on the sly in the gutters and the streets of Petersburg. My Petersburg!
Petersburg from Anastasia, and I promise I will shut up about it now unless it wins something, in which case Anastasia forever.
So basically it has to win something, otherwise yeah. Ella's gonna be annoyed that she can't play
I have this horrible fear that it's gonna have the same problem as Tuck Everlasting, which is like they've taken a film I love as a child, made it into a really great musical, and then just not enough people go and see it. I feel there's more excitement about Anastasia than
I've heard a bit more about it than Tuck
people Everlasting. I know have heard of Anastasia the musical, yes. Whereas no one had heard of Tuck Everlasting. It was great. Bring back Tuck Everlasting. It closed after like
Ella.
2 weeks.
Ella.
Sorry, What kind of show would this be if we didn't play anything from the standout show of 2016? We've mentioned it already. It broke the record for the number of nominations with 16. It won 11 and it took the world by storm, and will be coming to London later this year. It is, of course, Hamilton.
I feel like everyone knows about it now.
If you haven't heard of Hamilton, message in the messaging service and we will tell you that you've been living under a rock.
Yes.
I don't know how you haven't heard of it. It's just a real breakthrough musical that's covered so many areas of music.
Yeah.
And everyone seems to like it. I've admitted this before, I'm less of a fan of it than a lot of people, mainly because I already know a lot about musical theatre, and it annoyed me that people only seem to care about Hamilton when I'm like, but here's another show, but Hamilton. But what about Hamilton? And it's like, but I think that now that the hubbub has died down, I like it more.
If that makes sense. You're such a hipster of musical theatre.
I'm so cool.
Also,
falsettos.
Can we point out that Lin-Manuel Miranda will be in the new Mary Poppins film? And there was a picture released this week, I think it's on the Radio Times front cover, of him and Emily Blunt, who will play Mary Poppins. I
think we can all accept that Lin-Manuel Miranda is just like a god on earth. He's so adorable.
He's adorable. He's not quite like Neil Patrick Harris is just like, whoa. Whereas Lin-Manuel Miranda makes me just go, oh, you're so cute. Which I don't feel is appropriate for it.
I feel like that's the nice summary. They can get that on like the poster.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris is like, whoa. Lin-Manuel Miranda is like, so cute. Anyway, we're going to play Hamilton's performance live at the Tony Awards last year. This is Hamilton.
Let me tell you what I wish I'd known when I was young and dreamed of glory.
Now, Lin-Manuel Miranda obviously wrote Hamilton, but I think we can all accept that his true fame and glory began years before that.
Yeah.
It wasn't with the groundbreaking In the Heights in 2008, which everyone knows him for. It wasn't even with the 2012 hit Bring It On, which he wrote with Tom Kidd. Oh, no. It was when he wrote the closing rap for Neil Patrick Harris at the 2011 Tony Awards. Thank you very much.
Looking like a baby.
Oh, he's so young.
He looks so young compared to now, which obviously been 5 years, but oh.
Yeah, there's a brilliant video. Basically, he and Tommy Cale sat backstage at the 2011 Tony Awards with a little monitor watching the entire show and writing a rap based on the events of the evening, kept changing it as different things happened. This brilliant video of it. It really kind of like shows the creative process of how he went about writing it. I'll be sharing the video right now.
Yes.
So go to Twitter, You're in Showtime, to check that out. This is a brilliant moment. He's getting so frustrated with Warhorse because he can't rhyme anything with it. He's going, Warhorse, it's so full stop. There's nothing, you can't put anything after Warhorse. And there's a pause. He goes, Equus rhymes with loads. And it's just the most Lin-Manuel Miranda thing. It's adorable. Yes. So do recommend watching that. Unfortunately, we don't have time to play that clip, but we can do the next best thing, which is to have Neil Patrick Harris himself rapping what they had written for him. And remember, like, listening to this, remember that it's all been done on the night. It was written as the show was going on. Neil Patrick Harris has then learnt it and he performs it, and it is simply incredible and just sums up Broadway so perfectly. So take it away, Neil.
Congratulations. That's it, everyone. That's our show. So wait, tomorrow, if anyone asks you what happened at the Tonys, you can say this. We straightened things out in the opening number. Ellen Barkin and John Benjamin Hickey took home awards for their hilarious performances in The Normal Heart. Daniel Radcliffe kicked some butt, and we were so elated, even Voldemort was sad he wasn't nominated. Oh, that's cool. Norbert Leo Butt sang and danced and tried to catch you, coming at you, chasing Trey and Casey because they nabbed a Tony statue. Commencing in the Chattanooga station from the grand imagination of a Candor Ed collaboration. It takes a lot for a recipient to humble me, but everybody cried for gorgeous Nikki James, the bumblebee. Andrew Rannells sang, I believe, and he landed it so well, now he's Mitt Romney's VP candidate. All across the country, from the north into the south, they're saying Brooke's a hottie with a crazy potty mouth. John Larroquette brought an eloquent mood to the room. I'm still imagining him at home in his Fruit of the Looms. Spider-Man and Mary Jane gave us perspective here. They sang a ballad, we didn't need our protective gear. Bettina Miller's nun sang Raise Your Voice with Cheer, and Memphis is relentless, they're performing every year. The Normal Heart won, Larry Kramer made us weep, and Warhorse dazzled us with a theatrical sweep. Sutton Foster never lost her knack for talking smack and tapping a full-on assault attack. I'm awesome. Hugh Jackman, take that. Go ahead and roll the credits if you need to. I'm out of control. I'm on a roll. This is my Tony speed through. Anything Goes took the best revival prize in stride. We didn't see it. We were singing side by side by side. McDormand loves her job. Sutton Foster won again. Paul Schaefer sang and suddenly it started raining men. Mark Ryland loves his fences. He's won the Tony twice. That guy can do it all. His follow-up is Fanny Bryce. Norbert Butts and Mormon swept the floor, won even more awards than Warhorse. Par for the course, someone get a car for the horse. And in the final analysis, what survives tonight? Theater, because it's what we live. We're changing some lives tonight. And theater thrives because we live to give it, so to speak. This ain't reality TV. This is 8 shows a week. Every chorus member that you saw tonight tapping had to make miracles happen for a chance to see you clapping and applauding in the audience. What's next? Who knows? Anything goes. Now go see a mother Broadway show. Thank you. Good night.
hopefully we've given you everything you need to know about the Tony Awards, what to expect from them, who we think will win. The nominations, just by show, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, Hello Dolly, Dear Evan Hansen, Come From Away, Groundhog Day the musical, Falsettos, War Paint, Miss Saigon, Bandstand, Anastasia and Holiday Inn. They are the musicals nominated for anything, and we'll be recording a podcast tomorrow to let you know who wins.
Ooh,
exciting. We're back to our usual time, 6 p.m. next week for the last show of the year.
Oh,
no, but we are still here next year.
Yay! So, one more year.
1 year more. I said I wouldn't sing. For now, though, we will leave you in the capable hands of Neil Patrick Harris and his 2013 Tony opening number. Oh, it's just so good.
Is URN Showtime Breakdown.